Okay, we are still early, huh? 8:06, 4 more minutes. So in the meantime, maybe we can get ready for puja. Huh? Those who brought in whatever offering, huh? You can prepare them and get ready for puja. Then tonight, we need to invite two of the Kayamita to help light the candle and the incense. So we leave it to Sui An to nominate. Okay. For those who are going to Perth and Melbourne with us, there is a good news. We finally, because of condition, managed to locate my second last teacher. And very likely, we are going to meet up with her on the Saturday, 29th of May. We will invite her for lunch. Okay. Yeah. So two of you come and help light the candle and help us light the puja candle and incense. Okay, you all can stand. Let us. Yeah, God. Umbrella. Somebody help. Help to pass the umbrella. It's raining. Let us stand. Then we start the puja. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Y'all can stand over here. Come. Oh, okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Oh, the flower is here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, offer the flower. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Very kind of Mimi, huh? She knew Pama Suri not around, so she need to bring flower. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 You come nearer here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Pass it round. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. No, no, go ahead, I touch already. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Thank you so much. Then we can prepare for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhu, virya. Then we will commence with the puja. Namo bensi sijia moni po. Namo bensi sijia moni po. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Kwan Siyin Pusa. Namo Kwan Siyin Pusa. Namo Kwan Siyin Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddha Tang Bhagawan Tang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of our chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Rahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganna sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang. Vanna ganda gonopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe puje mi buddhang kusumenanena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati visana mavang adivase tu no bante paniyang harika pitang anukampang upataya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the Nidha and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and friction soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripuja. Bhadang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, thank you. Let us be seated. Maintain some more attentiveness, then we can start our meditation. Before we proceed with the meditation, maybe just as a reminder, today is the last Thursday class for the month of May. After this, next Tuesday night, we are meet together with a group of Kanimita, I think about 20 of us. We are flying off to Perth. Then after that, we are going off to Melbourne. So the Melbourne trip was supposed to be a leisure-free and easy trip, but condition just arise and manifest, because it has been quite a while I've not met my last teacher, and she is in Melbourne. So it so happened this is a spiritual trip, and many of Kayamita had also expressed their keenness to meet up if there is condition. So I say I don't know, because I lost contact. So we initially had this intention to trace where she is. So my first initial planning was, when I reach there, I make inquiry, I will call the number again, because I couldn't get through the last few times. Then later on, if cannot, I will go to the place. Well, that was the house I remember. During the early days, we went and looked for the property together with Uncle Ku during the early days. And that was the property that we bought, managed to raise some money, and bought it over. Then I was told, because somebody from our Malaysian side, I think one of the Kayamita, she knew of a friend, her close friend also from Malaysia, who go to my second last teacher's place for activity and listen to her Dhamma sharing and Dhamma talk. Then everything just fall into place, and this friend of her is so helpful. She is trying to help us arrange a lunch meetup. Then maybe later on we can visit the center to pay our respect and express our gratitude, so that we can cultivate the appropriate affinity with my teacher's nature. So tentatively is more or less, I think, awaiting confirmation on it. We agreed to the date 29, lunch, May. Oh, sorry, 28. Yeah, 28. 29 is Sunday, sorry. 28 is a Saturday. So, hopefully, it's just like I used to say, when there is condition, things will arise. And it looks like this is meant to be, because earlier on, very strange thing happened. The return leg ticket from Perth to Melbourne, sorry, Perth to Malaysia, KL, was cancelled. I don't know why. Yeah. And because of that, there was one group who was supposed to stay back after the Perth trip, have decided to use the ticket to go to Melbourne and fly back from Melbourne. So because of that, there were conditions. Then I told some of them earlier on who intend to burn the ticket and buy a new ticket to Melbourne. I say, please don't, because I also still not sure that I can contact her. Then very strange thing happened. 2-3 days after that, the airline wrote to them, their return like cancel. The flight was fully refundable. And because of that, they came and talked to me. I said, if there's a case where you meant to be, so you all change your ticket because it doesn't cost you any money. Then after that, very strange thing again happened before we fly off. I think a few days back, somebody contacted me from the calendar. They heard our Tuesday class sharing about this intended visit. Then she referred me to the friend in Australia who used to go to my second last teacher's place for Dhamma sharing and all those things. So that was how it all fell into place. So hopefully this can give rise to confidence and faith so that those who are going make full use of the opportunity to meet up with my second last teacher. Then also earlier on, after the Bodhisattva way and the Bodhisattva vow, that ceremony, we also had a sharing on some of the teaching and letters that my second last teacher wrote to me during the early 90s. Then her poems, Dhamma poem or something. So these are the conditions behind all this. So very, very happily, everything just happened at the right time and the right place. Of all the sharing, we did it at this time. Then the trip also fall into place. We never planned for it, but the thing just unfolded in that way. So a lot of things, if it's meant to be, will be. Then we see how it goes. So this is just the simple sharing. Then after that, 2 weeks, we will not have any class. The next 2 Thursdays, there is no Thursday class. You're more lucky, we have Tuesday class. We had to cancel 3 classes. Yeah, the day I returned was Monday, so Tuesday class also will be cancelled. But Thursday class can be on. So immediately after we come back, that Thursday, a few days later, 3 days later, the class will be on. Then, since I'll be away for 2 weeks, those who are not going, staying back, you can have your self-practice. Then today, Sian texted me something which I text to the Thursday class. I will do the sharing tonight to explain how when you understand the Dhamma, it can bring forth great transformation in your life. It can help you understand life, improve your life, and bring forth the understanding to resolve or overcome whatever problem that you might face. And all of your coming obstruction, you can deal with it. You will know what to do. And you do it the Dhamma way, which is free. No need to spend any money. You only need to have sincerity, faith and diligence. Whereas those who believe in feng shui, whatever media, rite and ritual, and all those belief systems, you have to be careful, because if it's karma that decides your life, none of all those are going to help you. They are going to create more problems for you, make you more gullible, and you will continue to have problems. So this is a very important understanding. So hopefully with this sharing, then last Thursday we already shared the essential Dhamma as with regard to cultivation. So with these two, you should know how to develop your own self-practice when I'm not around. Then you check for yourself. When you are not having your usual classes, can you still maintain your daily practice, your self-cultivation? Because sooner or later, you have to move into that. You cannot rely on the weekly classes to help you. So all this are very useful. If you cannot recall, go and listen to the recording again. So it is a good break for you to spend time instead of coming to the class to listen to a recording, then make note and develop the understanding so that your practice or your cultivation can become more significant and meaningful. Then just now on the car while I was traveling here, as usual, PG asked me some questions. So there were some very good conditions to develop further understanding. Because she said it's very difficult to put the mind to practice. And there are so many things that can affect us. So it started off with all the noise and all those things, because rain. Then she stayed in a place where the MRT is going to be constructed, the Dash Highway and all those things. She said some of the units are just next to it, or just below it or above it. So they have this idea, I will not buy such unit because it's going to be a problem and all those things. Then near the traffic light where cars stop with a lot of pollution and all those things. But then I say, your mind has to develop the understanding to be at peace with all conditions. If you cannot have that understanding, then you have not cultivated the Buddha Dhamma. Then you say, still not easy, you know, this one. You cultivate, but not easy. Then something strike me, that's where all cultivator went wrong. Yeah, you think you cultivate the Buddha Dhamma is to overcome all this. If you have not awakened or developed the straightening of view or understanding of the Dhamma, you cannot deal with all this problem, I tell you. Because cultivation is not about cultivating your mind to overcome all this and asana. What is cultivation? Cultivation is to develop the heedfulness to awaken to the characteristics of nature, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the essential Dhamma, to understand them. The moment you understand the problem, no more. Understand? You don't have to try to avoid it, or try to suppress it, try to control it, try to let go, try not to react. That one is the thought. You cannot free. You don't cultivate your mind to do all those things. Those are thought-based meditation. Using knowledge, I must not have attachment, I must not have craving. Then what you do? You try not to be greedy, you try not to have craving. And that is suppression, that is trying to suppress your desire, your craving from manifesting. You think by not doing that, you can cultivate to become enlightened. So that is not cultivation. If you do that, it's leading you nowhere. You can be wasting your time for very, very long. That's why aeons and aeons, the thought-based meditation, you will be repeating. Then she also mentioned there are friends who told her they have been meditating for 10, 20, 30 years. Then again, they talk about 1 month, 2 month retreat. Then when she listened to what they tell them, she got a shock. You know, some of them told them what. No. He said, last time when I go retreat, I can go into jhana anytime. Now I find it so difficult to go into jhana. We are old already. Age has catch up. You know. But meditation is not about going into jhana, not about going to all those mind states. It can come as a byproduct, training of the mind. But the purpose of meditation is to train the heedless mind to be heedful so that it can develop the meditation, the insight in the phenomena, to awaken, to develop the wisdom the inside knowledge. And this is meditation, not to suppress and control and do all those funny things and experience all those funny things. The purpose of cultivation is to develop the wisdom, to awaken, to understand. The moment you understand, the problem cease to be. You don't have to let go anymore. You don't have to try to suppress this, suppress that, or not react to this and not react to that no more. Because the moment the Dhamma is understood, the form and mind is not deluded, it will be liberated, it will be free. Then you can be with the moment. No matter what happens, the mind will not react and stir, because the conditioning, all this, the views, the opinion, all of your memory, they will not come out to disturb you. You will not act according to memory. You act according to understanding, wisdom. The wisdom and the straightening of you that you have developed through your direct seeing, your insight into phenomena, your understanding of the essential Dhamma, the law of karma, the right view, all those things. So you act based on that understanding. You don't act out of fear, insecurity, rites and ritual, belief system, conditioning and all those things. All this is of the past. It will not manifest anymore, because these are all from memory, from the thought, from the conditioning, from the conditioned mind. The true mind has none of all this. The true mind is just silent, peaceful, aware, and it will understand, it will insight into phenomena, it will liberate. Then you will not have problem anymore. That's how you cultivate to develop wisdom, understanding, to awaken. That's it. Not to do anything else. So always be very focused about cultivation and meditation. Okay? So with that, we can start our meditation of the light. Then relax body and mind. Then you can start your meditation. Those who need to train your mind, you can still train. Use the mind sweeping method, coupled with metta or loving kindness. Then those who already stabilized, you can just develop the stability of that mindfulness through whatever skillful means that you are familiar with, either anapanasati or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. Okay? Then after that, those who already know how to meditate, you just silent, relax, and maintain awareness. You don't have to know anything, just silent the mind for as long as you can. Through that silence, the Dhamma will arise. Through that silence, the understanding will arise. So you don't have to do anything. Relax, silent. Allow the mind to be. The mundane mind, if it's still heedless, let it arise and let it pass away. Then see what happens. As long as you can accept that reality of a heedless mind, the untrained mind behaves that way. That is the way it is, so you allow it to be. The moment you can allow it to be, it will stabilize, it will settle down, it will slow down, because you are not deluded by it anymore. You are not trying to do anything anymore. You are not using the thought to meditate. You just relax and silent. Yeah. Then everything will fall into place. Then the inner peace, the inner quietness or tranquility or stillness is paucity. Is the meditative mind. And that is the one that can understand many, many things. So don't go and look for phenomena, look for characteristics, look for Dhamma and try to meditate. Forget about it. The real meditation is just silent, relax and aware. The four support, relax, aware. Then maintain the stability of that silence so that you will understand how you function as a human being, how the form and mind work. So just be with the moment. Yeah. Whatever the mind state that arises, stay with it. Don't do anything. Just allow it to be. Then it will slow down. It will slow down. But to do this, you need understanding. The first stage of Dhamma, Pariyatti, need to be understood clearly. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. And I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes, huh? Okay, what else is do you want to meditate? You can continue. What else is happening now? Slowly, mindfully, come on the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. This is the trained mind that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness, to cultivate the true heedfulness in daily life. The daily mindfulness in daily life is the real practice or cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Then when you have stabilized this sati, when you are very stable, your daily mindfulness will transform into the full cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, in particular the sati sampajana. Then you will insight into phenomena. You will understand many of the essential Dhamma. Then you can actually go into the four foundations one by one in stages. From Kaya, which is to anchor the mind, to stabilize it, to develop the present moment awareness, which is Sati. Then after you stabilize it, it becomes Samadhi. Then your mind that is in Samadhi, in the state of Sati, will have the stability of mindfulness to be with the moment, to be with phenomena, to be with the moment of feeling, activity of mind, content of consciousness, and consciousness itself. The four foundations can be cultivated. Then when it has this stability of mindfulness, it can insight into phenomena and awaken to the essential Dhamma. So all the kayanupassana leading the vedana, citta followed by dhammanupassana, they can be cultivated. But you need the silent mind. You need the meditative mind, the mindfulness, ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness itself. Like Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. These are the quality of a heedful one. If you are in that state throughout the day, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast who hold on to this cultivation, they will realize the bond-free supreme nibbana. And this is assured by the Buddha in the Dhammapada verse 23. So all our cultivation is to develop this heedfulness, apamada. Then you will understand the teaching. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will invoke the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa ittipiso bhagavā arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Dittiko akaliko ehi pasiko upanayiko pachatang veditago vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yugani ta purisa pugala eha bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali paraneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Pedang puji ini. Damang puji ini. Sanghang puji ini. Okay. Just relax yourself, maintain some more attention, then we can proceed with our second session. Yeah? Okay, before we proceed with our second session, I think I got a good news. I just received confirmation of our meetup. It's on 28 May lunch. So they want us to confirm back the time. I will reply to them by tomorrow. I think later on we will discuss it. Maybe 12 o'clock or 11:30 should be appropriate. Then after that, what else they want? They have booked a vegetarian restaurant because my second last teacher takes vegetarian. Okay, so that's confirmed. Okay, then we continue with our tonight's discussion. Before we go into the discussion of that particular Kayamita's feedback from Sui An to me, which I have forwarded to you all, do you all have any question that you want to ask or report any meditation? If you have, I will allow you all to report your meditation first. Anybody? Just put up your hand if you want to report your meditation, or you got any essential dhamma to clarify. Again, as usual, so quiet. Okay. Yeah, pass the mic to Christina. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. Good evening, Brother
yeah,
Teo.
Yes.
Just now, Brother Teo was telling about we don't suppress.
Yeah.
We are aware of our feeling.
Yeah.
We are suppressing.
When you are aware, you are not suppressing. When you are aware, you're just silent. Then be with it. That is not suppressing. Suppressing is the thought come out. You try not to get angry. When people scold you, then when you see your craving, you want to practice letting go. That is suppression. That is the mind trying not to do all this, trying to be good. Understand? That is what I mean by suppression. You cultivate not to do things like that anymore. You cultivate to develop understanding. When I understand, I am no longer afflicted. I am no longer affected like before. I do not fear anger. I do not fear people who speak harshly. Understand? I learn to see them as they are. Accept them for what they are. Then when you have that understanding, you are always at peace, like the noise. I remember in the early day, they told me Subang house cheaper by 20%. Remember? Because flight path. Aeroplane. Wow, very noisy, people complain. Then later on, what happened? Noise or no noise, flight path or no flight path, the price go up. Then no more discount. Then people find Subang quite a nice place. Then some UEP continue to build. Then this place, boom. Then you get used to it. Like last time, Mi Fong Suyan used to tell me, yeah, every day the plane will like that one. Oh, you will get used to it. Then, like my wife told PG, last time I stay my hometown there, you know, at that house with the zinc sheet at the air well there. Every time it rains, that vibration very loud. Then, like our modern house, we got awning outside. Oh, that is the sign, the vibration that tell you rain. And I sleep very well every time it rains. And I like that type of vibration. Why? Because I got no problem with it. Then, like I told you during my younger days, my neighbor liked to own this cassette tape or radio fusion, Lay Tai So and all those things. Throughout the day, except at night, they switch it off 10 p.m. That time I also had to sleep pretty well. All the shop, close shop at night. Lights off. Then I continue for 1 or more hours to study until 10. Then I have to sleep. Otherwise, my father cannot. He got to off the light, everything. So that was the condition. So I had to accord and flow. So I learned to study with the music on. I had to learn to study with the radio fusion on. Then the condition was so harsh. Our house is afternoon sun, clear, direct. Then we go only one table, whole family. Dinner also there. My father treat the patient also that table. The whole family study also that table, eat also that table, breakfast also there. We got only one table, whole house. Yeah. We still have to manage. Well, now you complain. No room, no personal table, you cannot study. So during that time, everything was different. We are the elder one, we get to wear the new clothing. After that, we pass down. Our brother, sister, all have to continue with what we wear. Then our book also, we pass down. Last time, the textbook seldom change. Now, every year also change. Sometimes, every term also they change. So those are the things that you will come to understand. So suppression is when you cannot accept them because of your views, your opinion, your conditioning, who perceive it as noisy? Who perceive it as unhappy and all those things? So all this comes from your conditioning, your duality, your reaction to sense experience. That's why when you see something which is not in accordance with your views, opinion, and conditioning, you will get irritated or unhappy and afflicted and miserable. Why must you do that? Life is not about reacting. Life is about at peace with the moment, with the reality, so that there is meaning to life. So that you can live, so that you can be peaceful, whatever the condition is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Isn't this a better way to live life than to complain about life, react to life, miserable over life? Everything also they call in Cantonese, sun ngan. You don't like it. So why? You don't control the world. You don't own the world. You cannot prevent your neighbor from blasting the music and all those things, or owning the radio and listening to nice music. To them, that is life. That is what they like to do. You can say they are insensitive. I want to study. But it doesn't mean you want to study. The whole world must keep quiet for you to study. Nature's vibration, they are there throughout the day. Whether you are sensitive or you are not sensitive is dependent on your mind, your training, your understanding. So to be at peace, you need wisdom, you need understanding. That's why my teacher said, when you have wisdom within, inside okay, outside no problem. If inside don't have wisdom, outside big problem. Well, the user of thought is deluded. That's why thought become wrong thought. And what are wrong thought? Wrong thought are thought that condition your what? No, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness. And you can say your reaction, yes. But these are all wrong thoughts. Well, it brings about ignorance. It brings about duality. It brings about discontent, unhappiness, suffering, misery. And those are wrong thoughts. Then why do you want to arise that thought? The use of thought is very important. Like money, thought becomes wholesome when you have wisdom and right view, when you use it appropriately. But when you use it with evil intention, negatively, then thought becomes evil, becomes wrong thought, like money. So when you arise wrong thought, it makes you miserable, suffer. And you also make other people miserable and suffer because you use it wrongly to hurt yourself, harm yourself, and hurt others, and harm others. And create so much delusion in yourself. The self-delusion condition your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity, your fear, your worry, and anxiety. And through this evil road, you manifest. That's how you become evil. You harm, you cheat, you deceive, you break all the precepts. You become miserable because karmically you will fall. And through this evil action, speech and thought, you make other people suffer and miserable. Then law of karma is you reap what you sow. What you do to people will come back to you. That's why never, never arise wrong thought. That's why develop wisdom through meditation. We are straightening your thought. We are understanding the law that governs life and existence, the law of karma and all those things. That's how the teaching come about. That's how you follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why the Buddha said, you have to reflect every day, the five daily contemplation, the essential Dhamma that we went through, the whole list, 10 of them. Starting with the five daily contemplation. Of course, the significance of cultivating puja includes all this. Because puja covers all this. Even asking for forgiveness and repentance is all in the puja book. Chanting of the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then taking refuge, renew your five precepts, puja offering. Develop mindfulness, wholesomeness, generosity, rejoicing, sincerity, truthfulness. So all this come about through puja, through an understanding of the essential Dhamma. So it will develop the spiritual faculty for you to overcome the hindrance of mind. The hindrance of mind bring about wrong thought, mental negativity. That's why they are called hindrance, because it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. How does it arise? Because the first two hindrances, sensual desire and ill will, this other duality, the positive and negative mind state. If you throughout the day react that way, it becomes habitual, then you become heedless. So if constantly sensual desire and ill will is there, means you have this craving, positive and negative. These are hindrances. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state. So because of that, you become heedless and you constantly arise wrong thought. Because all of sense experience, when you confront them, you don't have right view, you don't understand. You just stir your mind, react, and create duality. That's why you have like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Then you deludedly grasp, cling and hold and develop sorrow and lamentation. Your insecurity, your fear, your unhappiness, all this come about because of your wrong view that condition you to react that way. Your wrong view, your conditioning from your belief system, your tradition, your culture, all this, your education. Then even the media, the paper, they condition your life so much and you become dependent. Then you attach, you cling, and you find it so miserable when you cannot cope with technology and all those things. Then you have all the other First Noble Truth reality that are all the while afflicting you. You have to confront them, the eight reality. So all this without Dhamma, not easy to live your life. Not easy to develop understanding to cope with life. That's why a lot of living beings, they suffer and become miserable when they confront the realities of life and existence. The First Noble Truth reality of birth, old age, sickness and death. Separation from loved one, possession, things that you hold on to dearly, your wealth, your possession, your whatever, things that you believe you own, even your reputation, your company, your title, your belief system, everything. If you cling on to them, you hold on to them, you will be afflicted because they are not what you think. Even your own form and mind, they are conditioned arising, causal phenomena, not real, not you. You can't even own your own form and mind. How can you own anything? How can form and mind own anything? Only the fools lament. So these are very clear dhamma that you have to awaken to. That's why the straightening of your view will allow you to have the understanding not to be deceived by all this phenomenal world, not to be conditioned into negativity, not to be gullible and become afflicted by them. You will see them clearly for what they are, their characteristics are impermanent, leading to suffering. That's why you cannot hold anymore, you cannot be deceived anymore. So you don't try to practice letting go. You don't try to practice not to get angry. You don't go and suppress all your emotion anymore. You just live life through understanding. The moment you understand, all this ceases to be. You cultivate to develop wisdom to straighten your view so that the next time you see anything, hear anything, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you are at peace. You are no longer like before. Now that is the real cultivation, to awaken. Not to cultivate and practice to go and suppress. So that you don't get angry, so that you can be peaceful. Then you go and do concentration, you go and do suppression, you go and isolate yourself. You go for retreat, you go and hide in the mountain, become hermit, because you say the world is crazy. This is a crazy world, I cannot be at peace. Means you are not peaceful, you blame environment for your lack of peace. It is not the environment, it is you your inner mind, your inner nature, without understanding outside big problem like my teacher said. The world is like chaotic to you. Everything like not right. But when you understand everything is just the way it is, like the Buddha say, things are just the way they are. We are these are nature's law, condition like that, things will be like that. If you go against what is the reality, wanting things your way, you will suffer, you will be afflicted. And when you see the characteristics of all phenomena, especially impermanent, you will not be gullible anymore. You will just awaken to the truth. Because of that characteristic, you will know everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Then the delusion over this form of mind, no more. Okay? Yeah? Christine? So cultivation, now you start to understand, it is the wisdom, it is not the knowledge, it is not the Dhamma that you try to like interpret. I realize this is where a lot of cultivators go wrong. They say, I'm a cultivator, Dhamma practitioner. Anger is an evil root. I must not have anger. Then what they do? When people disturb them, when people abuse them or assault them, they yarn, don't want to get angry. That is not Dhamma. That means you are suppressing your anger. You think you have certain character when you become enlightened, or when you are a true practitioner, a true Buddhist. Say, Buddhists understand these are three evil roots. I must not have greed, I must not have selfishness, I must not have anger, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety. So your thought tell you all this. Then how you cultivate? You use thought-based meditation to suppress your anger, to suppress your craving, your desire. Good food also dare not eat. Oh, there is craving and all. I cannot eat. I must eat simple food so that no craving. You interpret that, it's up to you. The Buddha say don't attach to food. He never say cannot eat good food. He was offered the best food, he ate. It's your attachment to good food. When you are so conditioned and attached to good food, when you cannot have good food because condition different, then you complain, you lament. That is suffering. But when you understand then there is condition to have good food, you rejoice because good parami. Then people's wholesomeness, people who understand, they develop a lot of merits and wholesomeness. Through their generosity, their sincerity, they make offering. Then you eat. But when you go to some other place, may not have such condition. People don't understand what Dhamma is. They don't know what Pinnapat is. You go, I tell you, no food. And then don't become miserable. That's right. When you understand condition is like that, things will be like that. So you are still at peace. And that is Dhamma. Means good food, no good food, is the state of mind. As you remember during the early day, when I went for this spiritual trip, I told you Australia first trip, the environment, the condition was so adverse. Then that time even people offer peanut butter, come back, you know, all sorts of food they put inside, so they mix everything. Then that time got white rice, you feel very good, very contented because you rejoice. People sincerely make offering. So whatever you have gratitude towards them. That's why you thank them. You invoke the power of merits. You rejoice with their wholesomeness, their generosity, their sincerity. And may this wholesomeness pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble. You will know how to arise all this. Then you will know how to rejoice. Even eating white rice, when you chew and chew and chew, it becomes sweet. And that sweetness you never eat before. Without veg, rice can be very, very tasty, especially those from Thailand on pang beer, they say, fragrant rice. But a lot of starch, you got diabetic, you better be careful. because these are complex sugar. If you chew it, your saliva will actually, with together with the enzyme, will break it down to simple sugar. That's why simple sugar is your white sugar and all those things. That's why it becomes sweet. You don't believe me, you go and try. Really? I tried it, it was so nice. Then that time, you eat very simple. Then that time got any soup or water, you felt very good. Then whatever is offered, I rejoice. Because these are the sincere people, generously, sincerely make offering. That's why when we go for a spiritual trip, we have a good mind. We will know how to invoke the power of merits and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. Okay, yeah. Did I answer your question? Good. So cultivation, always remember to develop understanding and wisdom to awaken. Not all the fantastic meditation, not all the conditioned state of mind where you look for jhana and all those things. You want to have jnana knowledge. That craving to have will stop you from having that understanding and awakening. Your mind has to be silent without craving. Just be with the moment. Then you will understand. You will awaken. Like Ananda tried so hard. He couldn't even go near to become an arahant. When did he awaken? When he gave up. Almost dawn already. He just forget about everything and just want to lie down for sleep. The moment the mind doesn't have any more craving to be enlightened, where he has the understanding actually, he doesn't know, is the thought, the knowledge that prevents him from awakening. So at that moment when he about to lie down, before the head hit the pillow, he became an arahant. And so every day go and try. It's not like that. When the conditions are not there, parami is not there. You go and try 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, so it won't happen. But when you are ready, you will know. That's why when you are silent, mindful, without any craving or intention to become anything, the thought not there, it will just arise. You know how Xu Yin became enlightened in 120 years old Zen master. He was not in a meditative state. When the attendant poured hot water into his hand, in that very moment, the natural instinct is to allow the hand to open up and the cup fell. The moment it cracked, he awakened. Then he wrote a poem. You know why or not? Because when he was hit with the hot water, he was not striving anymore to meditate or to become enlightened. He was no more doing anything. The mind was like pulverized, blank. That's why, like space, pulverized means the mind ceases. That's why he realized the true nature. And within that instant, you only need condition. So the cracking sound trickle off. It just awakened without the word. That's why when you are silent without any mundane mind or word doing the meditation, that is the condition for it to trigger. That's why don't try to do anything, don't try to know anything, just silent, maintain mindfulness and awareness. Then it will just happen. Like during the early day, my second last teacher just moved her hand like that, showing the Singaporean. He said, you see, she just moved the hand like that, then move another time. I awakened the three characteristics straight away. That moment, I saw from the beginning until the end, that very moment, this nature understand, awakened. Yeah. I was not meditating, but I was already fully aware throughout the day. Yeah. I was just silent. I was not looking forward to any understanding. I just listened attentively. Then when she moved her hand, my mindfulness was with it. That's why with the moment of arising, sustaining and the passing away of phenomena, there and then, it just awakened. It's not from the thought. It's not knowledge. It's not even Dhamma. It's just silent. That's why I always remind you all, the real meditation is just silent. Don't have to do anything. The doing is always by the thought. And thought is egoic. Thought cannot understand. Thought is condition. Not to say you do away with thought. No, you don't suppress thought. You don't control thought. You don't go and do one-pointedness as optional thing so that no thought. It's not that one. That one is not a free mind. It has to be a free mind that understands the characteristics of nature. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. Everything is just the way it is. Sankara anicchang, sankara dukkang, dhamma anatta. The moment you understand this, you awaken. Then your mind will cease. Your mind will not like before. Then it can be with the moment. It doesn't need anything. So there is no more craving or conditioning to, wow, what must I do after this? How can I realize the awakening? How do I insight into phenomena? How to realize the first jnana? Nama rupa jnana. Wow, like that. If I can discern between form and mind. Form is form, mind is mind, like Brother Teo say. You think that is first jnana. That is what your thought tells you. You silent, then you understand. That's why the real one is silent more and more. That's why the four support aware. Relax, aware. Then maintain the awareness, silent. Then let the nature do trust. Okay? Okay, now we better go into that sharing. I try to get the WhatsApp. Thursday class. Okay. Those who have read through, they will know. This one you all should rejoice and congratulate Sri Anna. She able to do it so well. I read to you. Sadhu. I read to you. This is what Sri Anna sent me. The below is from Sri Anna. This is from one lady that only 3 days ago I asked her to ask for forgiveness and make aspirations sincerely. This word is very important. She was having first noble truth problem. In this particular one was relationship problem. Then he replied after 3 days. She replied after 3 days. He said, "Hi, Brother Sian. After the 3rd day of my aspiration and seeking for forgiveness, I noticed that there is a huge change in me. Really surprising. I am not agitated and I don't feel miserable and jealous with people like before. I feel calm and automatically I will forgive others in my heart. I realize that whatever thing that happens to me is my karma. Previously I go against it. I cannot accept all this. So I now tend to forgive others. And I now start to sincerely do more meritorious deeds, which previously I do not do enough." Then he said, "Thanks. Luckily I met you, Itosian. I will continue reading my aspiration forever of my life." See? Actually no need to do forever. After 6 months, if it's clear, it should be okay. Then you repeat it every 6 months, should be okay. Then she said, "It is so powerful. Thank you." Then I replied, I said, "Mahasadhu Sian, you have done a great job." Then Sian said, "Many thanks to your Dhamma sharing too." She gave permission to share this. "So perhaps we can discuss this in tonight's class." Then I said, "Yes, that would be good. Tell her thanks, and that I rejoice with her good understanding and progress." So this is tonight's sharing on how to help you solve your life problem and how to improve one's life via understanding the Buddha Dhamma. So this teaching is very useful, very powerful, and applicable to all conditions. So now I will go into this particular sharing. You can ask me questions if you have. This understanding is very important because of this condition. See, somebody so new, didn't hear from me, hear from Suyan, and managed to have such beautiful outcome and result. But if she can have the condition to listen to tonight's recording and sharing, it will make her even more beautiful. And she will develop much more understanding. The reason why this type of asking for forgiveness and repentant cultivation can be so effective is because it's based on the Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. But this Dhamma has been forgotten and people cannot relate it back because many people, they try to check with the Sutta. They say that Buddha where got teach like that. What did the Buddha teach? You all only saw one pana, kayena, vacha, chittena, asking for forgiveness from the enlightened being. If by action, speech or thought you have, whether knowingly or unknowingly, cause any karmic negativity against the enlightened one, you would like to ask for forgiveness. That one is in the sutta, because that one is very important, the most important. If you offend the enlightened one, you know how severe that is. Or not. That's why the Buddha teach you how to ask for forgiveness, so that your severe one is gone. But when it comes to life, he didn't outline it that way, because unless you ask questions, at that time it was not recorded. At that time it was through word of mouth. No writing, nothing. No recorder, no technology. No video. Otherwise you can hear direct from the Buddha. The reason being, repentance come from the five daily contemplation that the Buddha taught. This essential Dhamma. The first four is in relationship with the First Noble Truth reality to develop understanding and wisdom to confront them so that you are not deluded by it and you will not be afflicted. The first three is about our physical form. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death, because it goes the way of nature. It is only element, no knowing. It cannot be you. So do not be foolish. Do not be gullible. Don't cling. Because this is the reality of the form. Not only your form. Each and every living being. If you live life long enough, this form will go the way of nature. So you attach and deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that this is you. You will worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. You think it's you. But when you understand that this is karmically conditioned, these are only elements, not you. Element goes the way of nature. But because your consciousness is trapped inside, you will experience this reality. So when you experience this reality, you understand that these are natural conditions that each and every living being has to confront. Then what must you do? Yeah? What must you do? Develop the wisdom to endure, understand not? You need to endure, you need to endure. You need to seek medical attention, you seek medical attention. We are like an old car. Through wear and tear, sooner or later it will break down. But if you maintain it well, take care of it better, it will last you longer, give you less problem. But if you don't care, simply whack the car, what happens? In the midst of life, it will just go haywire. Then it will give you hell or problem because you never take care, you never service it, you never maintain it, you never drive with care. You abuse it. Understand? You know what is abusing it. You simply bang here, bang there. Then break until the break also almost the whole thing come out. Break through everything, the tire or you never maintain. So in real life, it's like you abuse your physical body. Understand? How you abuse? You know how you abuse? You hate yourself until what you do? You want to commit suicide and kill yourself, harm yourself. Then you go and drink drown your sorrow, thinking that after that you can forget about your problem. You know you make your body miserable, health-wise. You make your consciousness so low, and it can bring forth a lot of problem to you. Then, when you are angry, unhappy, fearful, miserable, what happens? You create negative energy field. And this will lower your immune system. You make yourself suffer, miserable. That's why you become afflicted. Then you succumb to disease. That's why you get cancer and all those things. Because you don't have good mind states. You don't have good mind, metta and all those things to bring forth the positive energy, loving kindness, compassion, love, contentment, joy, happiness. You lack them. These are the ones that boost your immune system, that makes yourself lively, active, beautiful, healthy. Whereas the fearful negative energy field weakens yourself, lower your immune system, cause yourself to mutate, and you develop disease and all those things. So that's how Dhamma can help you. Body and mind medicine. Your mind must have wisdom not to develop this negative energy field. That's why you develop loving kindness, metta, to reverse all this negative energy field and make yourself calm and peaceful. So that your cells, your bodily cells will recuperate. So that your mind will be at peace. So that it will not be afflicted. Then after that, you meditate to develop wisdom. Then the fourth contemplation is, all that is mine, or I think I own, my loved one, my possession, everything, they are conditioned arising entity, not real, impermanent, leading to suffering. So do not attach, do not cling. They will either leave you when condition cease to be, or when your breath stops. They will also separate from you. You never own them. So when you already have this type of contemplative wisdom, you are not afflicted when separation occurs. When conditions cease to be for all this to separate from you, you are not afflicted. That wisdom is very important because you know that they are conditioned arising, dependent originating entity, phenomenal world, not real, not what you think. Then the fifth one is where the wisdom come about. The fifth one is what? What is the fifth contemplation? What did the Buddha say? Law of karma. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. If this is a very, very powerful truth, which the Buddha spoke, and you have to contemplate every day, what must you do? You must take care of karma. Which means all of your life, whatever that happened to you, because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it, because of this law of karma. Whatever that happened to you, your suffering, your misery, they are all 99.999% due to your karma. So what must you do? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma. How to take care of karma? The Buddha advised you to avoid all evil. How to avoid all evil? Keep your precepts. Your precepts, these are the source of virtue. If you don't keep your precepts, you got no virtue. People who violate their precepts, you check. They are evil people who has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why if you don't keep your precepts, it will cause you to have karmic negativity because the evil root will be there. Those who violate the precept, you can check. First precept, who kill, who harm? Why did the Buddha say we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings? Who kill, who harm? Violent people, deluded people, selfish people, angry people. These are all the people with evil roots. That's why they violate this precept. So if you keep this precept, you will not kill, you will not harm. So through the law of karma, you don't arise the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why you are at peace. Then you don't cause harm and suffering to fellow living beings. Law of karma is very fair. You reap what you sow. If you don't create all this in future, there is no condition, you will not suffer. People will not kill you and harm you. You will not born into places where there will be war, where there will be riots. And even when you are caught in situation, you will not be harmed because you don't have that karmic conditioning or negativity. That's what the nature's law is all about. That's why all this you will start to understand. So to avoid all evil, you keep your precept. That's why you renew your five precepts every day. And you keep your precept, you cultivate virtue. Because you avoid causing harm to fellow living beings. You avoid stealing, cheating, deceiving, committing sexual misconduct. All that lead to karmic negativity, downfall. You don't lie. You don't arise the wrong speech, the harsh speech, the frivolous speech, the backbiting. Then you don't lie. Then you don't create unnecessary, unfriendly speeches. Then the fifth one is you don't allow intoxicants to lower your consciousness, like drugs, alcohol, liquor, and all those things. So the five precepts will prevent all this. But in the past, before you understand, you don't keep your precept. Most living beings don't keep their precept. Even they keep without understanding one, where they justify. They always justify one. Acting a little bit okay, lah. Middle way, the Buddha said. Lie a little bit okay, as long as I got no intention to harm anybody. Justify very well. then when you steal things, misappropriate things, no lah, so happen, got condition ma, like Brother Teo say, they leave it on the table, if I don't take, other people take, then you do all the things, and you quote me some more, no. Brother Teo say, got condition, I never say this. Then the other thing is, after you have understood this, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, means you keep your precept. Then cultivate wholesomeness. Wholesomeness means what? When you understand that this law of karma is a nature's law that governs all of your life and existence, that's why you have to take care of karma. So you have to avoid all evil, you have to do good. Do good means you develop wholesomeness, cultivate virtue. How do you do it? You cultivate right view. That's why right view with regards to this law of karma will bring you the understanding to avoid all evil and do good. And how do you do good? Right view will condition right thought. What are right thought? Thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Like loving kindness, compassion, rejoicing, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, contentment. Generosity. These are all right thoughts. When you are able to have humility, you pay respect to people who are worthy of respect, to the elders. And all these are without evil roots. That's why they are all right thoughts. Thought that brings about love, brings about harmony, thought that can make people happy, can help people recover from their sadness, their suffering, their misery, their fear. Then whatever action that can give life, help people to turn around for the better. Like generosity and all those things. So these are the things that nature's law will tell you. Then the Buddha also knew if you avoid all evil, do good, you have good karma. That's why your life will turn around. You will become a better person. So that's why this lady realized when she avoided all those evil things, what she did was asking for repentance, asking for forgiveness from all beings, whomsoever from the distant past. That this is part of the nature's law. If you ask for forgiveness, from enlightened being also it work, kayena, vachacetena, and all those things. What about from other beings? You think the Buddha forgot? This already taught to them, the law of karma. But people never cultivate this. The Theravada seldom cultivate this. They don't believe this. You know what they emphasize on? Vipassana, jnana, 16 stages of jnana. They only want to become enlightened. They just want to cultivate and develop vipassana. But the real teaching is Noble Eightfold Path. From the right view in regards to law of karma, all the puja. Otherwise, why the Buddha teach the puja? Why did he ask you to chant Ipina Punyang Kamina? Mami Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawan Ivanapati. Why aspire to avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized? And he invoked what? Power of merits for causes and conditions. And these are all in the teaching. So what you need to do is, if you know the law of karma is so powerful, the first thing you need to do is to ask for forgiveness, like you ask for forgiveness from the enlightened one. Because these are karmic repercussions, karmic obstruction. They will continuously come and haunt you. Like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So if you got so much karmic negativity from the past, if you don't ask for forgiveness and repentance, what will happen? Whenever there is condition, it will come and haunt you and make you miserable. And you still don't know what is happening, like what this girl did earlier on. Cannot forgive people. Because the thought will tell you, they did this to you, you know. How can you forgive him? Correct? Then the hatred, the delusion become deeper and deeper. That's why without this right view, you will continue to blame. But when I explain to people and say, you know why you become like that? Where you reap what you sow. Just like relationship failure. Now you say, why my husband do this to me? How can he be like that? So selfish. So full of lust, craving, all those things. Willing to sacrifice the family's harmony, unity, and peace, and happiness just for that lustful desire, short-term fun and all. You can say all this. But in the past, when you did to other people, past life, you never thought about this. Just like your husband now. When he did all this, he is driven by what? The craving, the desire, the lustfulness, and all those things, the selfishness. And he never think of the consequence. Well, to him, there is no such thing. They don't believe. But when the nature's law manifests, future life, they are born as woman, just like this lady. Then you entangle somebody who has the condition to cheat on you and make you miserable, and then you pay back. And then you realize there is nothing to do with fair or unfair. It is because of this nature's law. Why other people don't have? Why all the good kayamita, most of the kayamitas, couple, they are all... with the past strong cultivation and affinity, they become beautiful, loving couples. Don't have such debt to pay back. How come only certain people? Then you start to have this understanding that nature's law is very powerful. So when you understand this, what must you do? First, ask for forgiveness. It's very powerful. Repentant. Follow the chanting book. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mine have caused any karmic negativity, suffering or misery or misled or whatever, this nature of mine sincerely ask for forgiveness, and may my forgiveness be accepted by them all. Then may they all too be well and happy. May the blessing of the Triple Gem too be with them always. So all this you can recite. Then when you do it sincerely, the word is, that it will bring about a very strong, powerful alteration to the nature's law. The karmic obstruction will be liquid now. Well, when you repent and ask for forgiveness sincerely, means you know these are mistakes. Then the next step is to vow not to repeat all this. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. It means you start to keep your precept. you start to cultivate the ennoblers, means the wholesomeness, the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, following Noble Eightfold Path, based on the essential Dhamma's understanding, right view. When you do this, your life will change. Your life will improve. Because this is accord and flow in nature's law. When you don't create karmic negativity, you ask for forgiveness, you will have less and less of this karmic conditioning to condition your future negative karma. And because you have this wholesomeness, this merit that you start to cultivate now with the new understanding, you will have more peacefulness of mind. You will have more calmness, joy. You will have spiritual wealth. You will develop spiritual understanding. All this comes from just keeping your precept. That's why the Buddha said, precept is the source of spiritual wealth, spiritual happiness, spiritual peacefulness. That's why silena sukantinyanti, silena boga sampadan. Then you have the last one, silena nibuntinyanti. So all this is what precept is all about. So you have your precept well kept, you will have more joy, like what she experienced, more peacefulness of mind. Then she will receive spiritual well. This is the right view, this is the teaching. Then you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You develop right speech, right action, right thought. Cultivate right livelihood. No more negativity, no more evil roots. Then your life becomes beautiful. And then after that, the third phase is the most important. That's why she did a lot of wholesomeness, meritorious action. But I don't know whether Suyan told her about the invocation of merits, the last one. After you have cultivated sufficiently your merits, your nature quite strong, then you say, by the power of whatever merits that this nature of mine has cultivated since the time I understand this Dhamma, may arise the causes and conditions for my life to turn around, for my whatever problem, like health problem, business or whatever. So that this body and mind of mine will have beautiful condition to develop the understanding of all this teaching, so that it can be a blessing to all, so that it can help bring about causes and conditions for me to recover from all my whatsoever life situation or problem. It can be health problem, financial problem, if relationship problem, you want improvement, please do it with understanding. If that guy already make you like that, so miserable, you somewhat aspire him to come back to you, I wish you good luck. You should wish him all the best. Then you tell yourself, it's a blessing in disguise that this thing happened. Why? Without this, I won't meet Suyan. Without this, I won't have the Dhamma. Without this, I don't have the condition to have my new life. Understand not? You are free. You are beautiful now with the Dhamma. Then without him, you realize you are so peaceful, so beautiful. Your anger, your hatred, no more. So these are the conditions that can make you turn around and make you beautiful. Then you thank yourself. This is really indeed blessing in disguise. Then you seriously commit yourself to this understanding. And then it will turn you around and it will make you beautiful. And your life will start to become beautiful. And this is very powerful. And these are very simple, no need money. And Sana, can you follow? A lot of people are so gullible, go to feng shui. Oh, I've got to spend so much money, consultation fee. Then after that, you come to your house, got to pay for the transport and the consultation. Then he said, you want to improve this house? Then he give you a package. This package, how much? Then he will help you. He said, okay, I will do this for you. Then how much again? You pay for all those things. End of the day, law of karma is the real one. Not all these things you do. So what happens? You become gullible again. You know why you end up like that? Well, last time you also feng shui floor, do all this and cheat people. That's why this life you come, you also end up becoming victim. Yeah, last time you did to people, you think it's lucrative, it's like good money. So a lot of these things is law of karma, you reap what you sow. You cannot blame people for what they do. Where you have such karmic, the condition, like a coin, fall into place, and then you become the victim. If you want to avoid all this, take care of your life, take care of your karma. Yeah. Then you will not believe all these things. You will not go and seek the help of all these people. Yeah. They call what? Gong Wu Lo, Namo Lo. Then a lot, fortune teller some more. They can even tell your fortune. Then now you are in a patch of bad luck, is it? You want good luck or not? I can help you. He himself also don't know what his luck is. You want him to help you. If he is so successful, he don't have to sit there and read your fortune. So forget about all this, because these are not the key factor. The key factor is how you live your life. Law of karma. That's why when you understand the Dhamma, you apply it accordingly, it is so powerful. And it really, really works. And this is no need money. Free. And yet, immediately effective. And you see it. Like this lady, 3 days after sincerely doing it, you see the result. She mentioned in her own SMA, she become more calm, more peaceful, more happy. Yeah, no longer like before, full of anger, hatred, cannot come to terms with all this reality. That's why the law of karma can give rise to right view. Then you know I reap what I sow. Each and every living being, we are all born of karma, add to our karma conditions. And we are what we are now, is it? Every moment, every instant, because of karma. You some more go and believe the feng shui law and all those things. I tell you, I wish you good luck if you do that. The real one, you don't take care. You don't take care of karma, what you do also no use. Whatever feng shui you go and build, no use, I tell you. It's not about feng shui. I think for those new people you haven't heard of, I share with you what my mother used to tell me and how I advise her. She used to tell me, hey, don't play a fool with a feng shui, true one, is it? That's why they go and pay so much money to buy the plot of land. To build their future burial ground in feng shui. My father bought it 50 years before he passed away. 50 old years, I think, together with my mom. Then he said, they give instruction, later you must build this feng shui. Do it properly so that the future generation will prosper and all this thing. You believe or not? As a Chinese, you should believe on it. Hey, you got feng shui or no, mo gao xiu. I straight away tell my mother, no, is it? Very simple, no need to argue, is it? You used to tell me, you come out of China, you already like jump out of the suffering world. Here is like heaven. I say, yes. I say, you somehow believe in feng shui? He said, why not? He said, because of the good feng shui, that's why I come out. Then what about your brother, sister still stuck in China, suffering? You mean they got different parents, different feng shui? Same feng shui. Wow, then my mother only start to reflect. No? Yeah, same feng shui. My father one also same. No? The brother and the relative are still in China, suffering. No? Then we all came out. We are like very blessed. Then I told my mother, the other thing is you look. You give birth to 9 brothers and sisters, your 9 brothers and 9 siblings. You look at every one of us. All the 9 of us are so different. Some very tall, some really very short. Then some very hairy, you know, a lot of hair. Some no hair. Some can study very well. Some standard 6, kick out. Then some very good in spiritual. Some totally no affinity. But later on I came to know they also have affinity, except they are not strong. They are mentally aggregated, more towards Mahayana. So I asked them to go Ciji. So most of them now in Ciji. I asked my mother, I said, how you explain all this? Then she looked at me. She said, yeah. Then I said, I don't believe any of this, and yet I'm successful. Why? Well, she stayed with me for 10 years, so look after my children. Then she learned to chant the Kuan Yin and all those things and the faith. Then she realized what I told her was true. No? Then later on, after my father passed away, he tell me in front of my brother and sister, he said, follow Buddhist way. No need to go and hire the Chai Ko, the Ta Chai, all those things. All no need, burn house, all no need. He said, I just want to listen to Amitabha and Kuan Yin. Then I said, no need. I said, your primary is very good. You give birth to me. You take care of me. You have sacrificed so much for me. Your love, your compassion, your sacrifice. You care for me. You brought me up. You bring me life. Then my father provide me with the education and whatever food and shelter. I said, you have been great parents. Your parami already very, very full. And this parami, my nature has already evolved the causes and conditions for you to have guaranteed beautiful future life. The Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha will always be with you all. That's why I told her, you don't have to worry from now onward, because you did your duty very well. So this is something you can learn. It's not about feng shui. How can feng shui be true? It has its signs. Otherwise, the feng shui master will come after me, I tell you. You understand, right? It has its signs, but it plays a very, very small role in your life, because your main one is law of karma. Feng shui has its signs. You know what is feng shui or not? Wind and water. Man and nature must harmonize. That's why they look at your topography, terrain. From the topography, they will know where the qi flow, where the wind and the water is. Feng shui. So the good qi, they know, you can tap them. It will bring about good condition for good karma to arise. Means what? Your bank account, all your good and bad karma. So the good qi means provide the condition for you to use your good karma. Means you empty your bank account of good karma faster. Then after the good karma no more, how? Saumhe, good one cannot receive already, but no more in the bank. Then the negative one a lot. You shook now, and I tell you, what is feng shui? Man and nature, environment must harmonize. Environment is not static, you know. It's evolving and changing, you know, every moment, every instant. Our planet is rotating, understand not? Moving through space and time. At every moment, every instant is different place. Then the consciousness, everything, they all play a role. How can you believe in feng shui? Understand not? The good qi is true. You are in a good qi, you feel good. Environment. But life is not static. You have to move around, understand? The moment you're out of there, your negative karma, your negative account, a lot, got condition manifest, you sure cannot kao kao, I tell you. That's why you don't take care of karma, whatever feng shui also no use. But you take care of karma, then it's different, you don't need feng shui. Like I always say, if you have good karma, every day is auspicious day. No need to wait for kunyam tan, or Vesak day, or what they call auspicious day. They say Chinese New Year. When to open business? Check the tong su, which day more lucky. Some even believe until one. What time, what day go and bank in money? And the money must be 9999. All this. If these are true, law of karma doesn't work anymore. So do not be gullible. Today's message is to develop the right view in regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. Nothing really, really help you except taking care of your karma. If you take care of karma is the one that will take care of your life, where you are born of it. add to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. And this is so powerful, so important in its significance and understanding. So when you have this right view as taught by the Buddha, you must follow his advice to avoid all evil, the good, and purify the mind. And you have to expand on it. Avoid all evil, keeping precept is not enough. You must do the ennobler, cultivate the wholesomeness, the goodness. That's why Noble Eightfold Path comes in, straighten your view. Then purify your action, speech, and thought process. And the way you live your life, right living, very important. Develop mindfulness, heedfulness, be aware of your mind state. You must know what constitutes evil, then only you can be mindful of the evil roots. That's why the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, you must understand them. Then you must have spiritual faculty so that you will not be heedless, so that the hindrance will not be there. And all this is the process of cultivation. Then from there, you insight into phenomena. When you are heedful, your mind will awaken. So this is the essential understanding behind all cultivation, so that you are not gullible, you are not deluded. And the reason why all this teaching and sharing can be so powerful is because they follow nature's law. That's why very chronic case, very, I tell you, severe cases where actually no hope of turning around already. Also, they turn around. My wife, sweetheart, Mi Feng, they already know. Well, there are some cases that they brought to me and it turned out. Then you ask me how I understand all this. I never learned this life. It's from the past. That's why all this teaching, it has to come out now. And this teaching can transform the world, can bring about a lot of transformation. Well, when people start to understand this, I can tell you, nobody want to be gullible. Nobody want to go back the old way to believe all those things and waste their money and time. They will know how to live life. They will choose to be happy. Then the question, why are you not happy and not peaceful, will never arise anymore. Because without this Dhamma, they don't know how to choose. But now with this Dhamma, when you understand this nature's law of karma, you will know how to live life. You will know how to change yourself and transform yourself so that life will become different. Because you will know what karma is. You will be very, very mindful of karma. You will vow never to allow it to affect your life anymore. So you vow not to repeat all this wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong thought. You vow to ever hold these precepts and train your mind to be ever mindful of all these evil roots, the mental hindrance. And you vow to cultivate spiritual faculty, leading to heedfulness, to develop all this Dhamma understanding, so that every line you come or choose to come or have to come, you will have this understanding and you will become beautiful and your nature will become beautiful and you will become a blessing to all. And this is how from one evil touch many, then many evil touch many. Don't worry about how fast a pace or how slow a pace, as long as you are sincere. You have the faith and you diligently cultivate. People will see the change in you, the transformation in you. Then when they listen to you, they know you are different now. And a lot of Kayamita has transformed tremendously and become so beautiful. Even those who are in depression for so many years, they became so beautiful. That's why all your so-called suffering or human problem, they are nothing actually, chicken feet, compared to some of the traumatic and serious ones. They are actually very, very minor. The moment you understand, you can clear it very fast. Okay? You all got any question? Or we still got 10 minutes. Can pass the mic to Eric, yeah. While I have a drink, thank you.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Good evening, Brother Theo and Brother Suyan. There's many new faces here. I've been missing in action for almost more than 11 months. what Brother Teo has explained earlier about living through Dhamma, I feel I would like to share with you all within this the period of the 11 months, 12 days missing in action. I understand better that during the 11 months, I was eventually practicing doing like, but I was doing what you taught, you explained everything, but only today that I realized that I was doing according to the Dhamma.
Correct.
So,
based, knowledge based. Knowledge-based, thought-based.
So what I want to share here is that my personal experience that...
Very good.
Last year, November, I lost my job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I knew about it.
But I feel great. I feel great.
Yeah.
Because I know that... Buddha is always with me, and his Dhamma through Brother Teo has given me the strength, and it's great, really. I've gone through it before the losing of my job. When most of all, you all know that my daughter had the leukemia, so I was almost in depression stage, until my daughter got leukemia, and with Brother Sui An, without any condition, sat on the same table with me, and we started talking. And he brought me here, and I came here. I was like, "What the heck we are doing?" I just came and just follow through, just sit down. You asked me to meditate. Okay, I meditate all this thing. But after listening to Brother sharing of Dhamma, I felt better. And when the eye opener was. When my daughter got better after her chemotherapy. So that is the first stage. Then the second doomsday was when I lost my job. But I took it as my bad karma has ripened. And I was happy. I don't know. After a few months, my ex-colleague will call me up. "Hey, how are you?" I said, "I'm great." "You're crazy. Yeah." Most people will be sad. I says, "Yeah, but I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm free from stress.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm free to do what I want to do." And then, instead of I was a zone manager, now I'm a house manager.
Yeah, good. You can get to do the thing that you like to do. Then you got no more fear like last time.
Yes.
The reality is, you are our job. So you do what is best for you. You can get another job, well and good. You can't, take care of the house first. Understand? Then do the thing that will make your family happy, beautiful. Then you will work it out. Somehow it will fall into place. If only you have faith in the Triple Gem, then you do in accordance with the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Avoid all evil, good, purify your mind. And if you want to invoke power of merit for causes and conditions, for you to recover or regain back your life so that you can have a constant source of income to provide for your family or to bring about better life for your family. You can invoke that merits. Yes, I forgot to add one thing. You see, when you invoke power of merits, I always remember, you cannot simply invoke anything you like. No such thing. Because just like money, when you're successful in your worldly life, you work for it, the money come to you through proper means. So money is like merit. You can use it to buy things that are allowable, like fridge, TV, car, or what that the market allow. You want to buy people's wife or people's husband, handsome people, cannot, understand? You cannot be crazy. You cannot, by the power of this merit, may my boss accept me back and give me a job. No such thing. But you have to understand, things that are allowable means the causes and condition allow it because you are sincere. Like to recover from your sickness, your depression, your coming negativity, your coming obstruction. And all this, it can help. It can dissolve it for you. But you have to be very sincere. But you must not have selfishness, understand? You cannot say by the power of this merit, may my enemy have what problem. Cannot, no such thing, understand? You don't be crazy. That's why some people, they tell me, hey, Brother, you're so good. Upper echo tomorrow, what number, you know. Oh, they ask it, this type of thing. Then he say, you can predict the number, not is it, the jackpot. Dhamma is not for all this. You go for all this, you become greed. But when there is condition for this to manifest, it will manifest one. Because I tried it before. It come. But it just for that moment, I want to understand. Then it just happened. But if you purposely want it, cannot manifest. It's just like during the early day when I first come out to work, at that time when metta was very powerful. I have shared with you all the IEM dinner, Northern Branch. I think they got 100 over tables now, that time they had the dinner. I only came out to work for 2 months, I think, that time. Then my company bought, I think, about 3 table tickets, sponsor people. Then my accountant, actually, she's supposed to pass me 1 table ticket. Then I will go there and distribute. But the day I got to be at the site, so I told her I won't be there that early. He said, Ladera, I give you 2 and now you come with your assistant. The rest of the ticket she take, 28 ticket all she take. And you know what happened that night? I knew when I went there, when they were doing the lucky draw. My that 2 ticket came out, first and second prize. And then Leong Thai, the accountant, I couldn't believe it. Was cursing and swearing. He said, out of 30 tickets, I took 28, he took 2, he got first prize and second prize. He said, back on such thing. Then I just laughed. Like, that's where my honeymoon was. I got a 3-day, 2-night stay at Russell Sang Hotel in Penang. Fully paid. Food and lodging. I brought my wife for honeymoon. Cannot afford honeymoon, that free ticket. And that was the first time I stayed 5-star hotel. So, you ask yourself, got such thing? I didn't do anything because I just had this pure wish. I just want to find out. When they were drawing the lot, very funny, inside here there's a feeling, as it is going to happen. Because all the number that came out, a very funny number. Then finally, when they call my number, I got second prize. I went out and take, that Leong Thai really doubly tahan. The next draw, my assistant got it, first prize. I tell you, everybody was looking at us. So you ask yourself, how can such thing happen? It's because of Dhamma. Because there was no greed, there was no intention to, I must control more ticket, more chance. No, you do what you want, no problem. We'll be very sincere. Then, when we took the ticket, when we went there, we were late some more. When we were there, the dinner was already almost starting. You continue, sorry. You have no more time. Sorry. Yeah, you just summarize it quickly.
Another experience was yesterday.
Yeah.
When I was, I went and did my bladder scoping.
In fact,
I missed my bladder scoping almost a year.
Oh, okay.
So when I went to the hospital, the doctor says, "Kenapa lama sangat?"
Yeah.
Patutnya 6 bulan. 1 tahun, takut ada apa-apa. So okay, I say alright lah. So then after that, he says, "Will I be on GA?" He said, "No, we just apply painkiller." Then I said, "Jalan." Okay. So then I said, will it pain or not? He says, some people can take it, some people cannot take it, but if pain, you let me know. So what I did was, again, thanks Brother Teo, I did meditation.
You silent your mind.
Silent my mind, and then while waiting to be called to the roof. So then it just came out into my mind, make peace with
the pain. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the thought will project the fear. Why do you want to let it happen? It will make you worse. Why not you calm yourself down and tell yourself this is the reality? If I want to do scope, I got two choices. React, become miserable and fear. Be at peace and let things be. Then depend on your karma.
It's like, going into open up the Dhamma diary or library to check. But it just pop up like that. It says, make peace with the pain.
Correct. Because you already have that training.
I was reciting and I gave send metta to the pain.
Send metta to your own body and mind.
So,
very important.
When I was lying down there, the doctor just...
I know.
So he says, now you're going to be pain a little bit. I said, then after that, I don't feel anything.
Yeah, very good.
But he says, going to be pain, so I was waiting for the pain. But after that, I don't feel
next
anything.
Next time, no need to wait. Just silence.
So I says, then I was asking the doctor, Damasuk ah. He said, Sudha, you don't feel the pain? I said, no, I don't feel the pain. He was saying, okay, let's see if got any growth since already 1 year plus. So eventually, because every day I do nothing to do at home, managing the house, manager at home.
So less stress. More peaceful.
Sending my daughter to school in the afternoon, I'll be back. And then just sit down for a while. Just even though 3 to 5 minutes is enough. So I just meditate and wish my body well. Eventually, yesterday when they check, it says, Mr. Tan, apa buat? There is no sign of regrowth. I just meditate. Then everything went well, and I was feeling very positive.
Very important. That part is very important.
Yesterday was after that when the painkiller subsides, so I felt the pain. So again, I'd pray and then meta again. Then
just silent.
This morning I woke up, everything has gone. So I guess it's true. The Dhamma
helps a lot.
Without realizing it. And the next one is like the patience. I lost my job. And I says, how can I go through my life? So then I came to a point that, okay, forget everything. Just leave it. I felt great.
Good understanding. Beautiful.
After that, of course, my sister from Singapore also, she was share some Dhamma
I met her when I went down Singapore. She invited me to the talk to give a talk at one of the Thai temple.
I waited and told myself, this is not my time yet. Wait patiently. Because I recall back the Dhamma Ajahn Brahm shared in his city. There's a monk we're supposed to go to after and was waiting. Never come, no, nothing. I just wait. And I think now I'm bearing the food. I just got a call up and I got a job. I'll be going to Bangladesh. As an expatriate there.
Very good.
After 11 months doing nothing.
It's not doing nothing. It's for you to actually understand life. That phase you have to go through. If you don't have the understanding, your suffering will come back. Means you haven't developed the understanding and your karma still got power over you. But because you can develop the understanding, then you can endure all this. Like you say, patient endurance means you don't suppress. You feel good because this is what Dhamma is all about. You don't need to worry. Your worry will not help you, will make you more miserable. So this is what peacefulness of mind, less stress, doing your duty, be at peace with everything, no negativity. Then there is no condition for negative karma. The moment you react, I tell you, very likely still got a lot haven't come out. You have no condition to come out now. if she has reacted the same way as last time during the early day, I tell you, he will still be paying back the karmic debt.
True, Brother Teo, because those days when I was still working,
yeah,
when
you're very negative.
I was so negative, and then I used to fall sick, and I used to get headache, and I used to have on medical leave. But surprisingly, as a house manager, for the 11 months, not a single day, not once, I went to a clinic because I was healthy.
Do you know your face is beautiful, radiant, really,
compared
to last time? No, compared to last time. Last time he came in, I can feel it. Very negative. There are a lot of sadness, unhappy inside. Stress and all that.
So, talking about if I keep if I keep my anger.
Yeah, you suppress it. It will.
Yes, because
it's an evil root. It will make you evil. No point. Free it. Let it come out.
The person who, not to say he made me out, lah. He gave me a lot of work and followed me until he. Says I'm not good, but when he before I left the company, I forgive him.
Yeah, that is very good.
And I wish him well.
Then there is no enmity.
So that helps a lot.
Very good.
And last but not least, I would like to say thank you to 3 person. First is our Lord Buddha for guiding me and his Dhamma. Second, Brother Teo, your meditation class and your Dhamma class has guided me through my life and made me a happier person. I may be more aware, but not wise yet.
Correct.
It's not easy to
but
learn
it's
Dhamma.
A big step.
It's easy to say about Dhamma, but it's not easy to learn. Even though the 5 precepts also.
Not easy to make it into a living reality. That is the correct understanding. But he has taken a beautiful big step to reach what he has
then,
today.
Many people will be saying life is suffering, but
no more.
From Brother Teo's explanation, the Dhamma,
there is
life
no suffering.
Is not suffering. There is no suffering. We are the ones who create our own suffering. So I hold to that. And last but not least, this is a very special person. Brother Siu'an, I salute you because without Brother Siu'an, I won't be in this group. Because of Brother Siu'an, I won't excel in my so-called Dhamma understanding. And without Brother Siu'an,
a lot of things wouldn't have happened.
I
remember during the early day, I just add this one before he came for that class. Last time he went to Siu'an, then in the SJBA, you know, he told me what they do or not. They advise him, Fong Sang, release the bird, and all that. And he go and do all this. Then he said, somehow not effective. I said, sure, not effective. We have the real thing you never do. Law of karma, asking for forgiveness, all this you never do. These 3 things you have to do, then only it will turn you around. So all these are like very small merits, understand? You think you release the bird, you free them from the trap. Actually, they got no more survival skill. You may cause them more problems. So all this may not be what you think. Go and buy from the captured one. You encourage people to catch and you release. Not to say you cannot do. As long as your heart is sincere, it is still something. There is still goodness, but not great, understand? The great one is when people are suffering, you help them. That is even more powerful because you do it out of sincerity and you really relieve suffering. This one, you don't know whether the bird is happy with your release or not. Every day, I got people feed him. Although cage, he's more happy. You release him a long time, he didn't fly, don't know how to fly. Then go out, so many prey are ever waiting to prey on them. And the worst is, when you release at night, they go and put all the sticky one on the tree and catch them again and offer it to the market to sell it to you again. So there is a demand and they encourage all this. So sometimes you do good, you have to have understanding. Good, according to your thought, knowledge, is not real good. That is gullible belief that you are doing good. But the real good comes from your heart when you are sincere, when you are mindful, when you understand this really can bring forth causes and conditions to relieve people's suffering. And then you help, you do. Okay? Yeah, continue. Yeah.
Just a little bit more. Thank you very much for very, very, very patient with me. At times when I receive Brother Suhan's WhatsApp, I just lost of word, don't know how to reply back. Because I've been always MIA. So, MIA for a reason, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
And Brother Suhan. And for Brother Suhan, you're the most wonderful person that I ever known.
Sadhu. We all agree. Sadhu. Yeah, he helped many. He helped many people.
He
a lot of kalyamita all come about because mainly from him and Mipong.
So I was looking forward for a day where Brother Suhan will kick me out from the group. But no, he kept me in the group, and even though every Thursday talk, he will share it with me. And sometimes when I see the WhatsApp comes in, only Brother Suhan, so I said, oh, goodness, what should I answer him? See, at least in the group, I don't have to answer, never mind. So, but anyway, the Dhamma, that the sharing that you all did throughout the 11 months when I was missing, but rest assured, every single WhatsApp that you all sent, I read every single word. And there is where I grow. Even though I'm now 51, I'm still very young.
Young
in the sense that I got many things I need to learn.
Yeah.
So my dear friend here, you are still very, 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 very young. So whatever it is, I feel great with this group. Brother Suhan, I don't know how many times I want to say thank you to you. My family. Even though my brother, even though my sisters who do not know Brother Suhan in person, they thank you. What you have done for me and changed my life.
So
this is a true story that I'm sharing. Yeah. Like, not
correct.
Okay.
Means very sincere in the expression of gratitude and thank. And this is virtue, understand? When you can have this heart to have gratitude towards what people have done for you, and you express it sincerely with thanks, that is the one that can touch the hearts of living beings.
Yeah, because
you must have gratitude to grow in Dhamma.
Right.
If you don't have gratitude, you will have evil roots. Your ego will be very strong. Sadhu, I rejoice. When you can have this type of expression, means you appreciate what people has done for you.
Yes,
you appreciate what you have gained through his help and whatever thing that he has done for you. And that is very beautiful, sincerely from the heart.
And
rejoice.
And another thing is because Brother Suhan has indirectly... being there for me, okay,
all the time,
even though not in person, but he was there for me, and and there's no special condition or
correct,
what.
Correct.
And Brother Suhan did it purely from his heart, I guess. I don't think I guess now, but it's true. He did it purely from his heart without expecting any. What you call, you see, the
return word, or benefit,
return or any
benefit,
favor or any,
benefit,
you know, he just did it just because he wanted to do it. That is how I portray Brother Suhan.
In the early day, he already told me about you, but I said, just let it be, no condition, nothing happened. At that time, your belief system were very different. So he told me about your case, then your daughter, then your wife, all three of you, big problem. Then I hinted to him what you need. Then luckily, finally you came. Then I can explain. But it took a while.
Yeah, that was after Brother Suhan has been persuading me and persuading me, sweet talk to me. So,
You better go, Lily.
But another thing is that, see, just slipped my mind. Brother Teo, for you, Even though today is maybe my last
class for this month,
or this year, because I'll be going to
Bangladesh for three years.
Yeah,
no problem. We wish you all the best in your success for your new career.
I'm looking forward for every Thursday from there, receiving WhatsApp from Brother Sriyan also. And
you
I
can
will listen.
To from your, there, you listen.
Yes.
You got more clarity.
Yes. Another thing
We have to
last
add.
But not
last
least,
last,
but, last but not least.
Thank you.
This was what I went through also, there was one guy, he's a Buddhist, came to me. That time was after I left. I lost my job. He says, how to become a good Buddhist.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I told him very straightforward, because I was attending to your class already. Yeah, I was saying that I don't have an exact answer for you.
Yeah.
Just do good.
Yeah.
Do good. Do good.
Yeah.
And then it reflects back to me, did I think good or not?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So from there, I...
You grow. Yeah,
that's it.
Father.
So
very good.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Brother Sui An, again, thank you very much.
Sadhu. Thank you so much. So we'd like to thank Eric for the good sharing. Huh? We rejoice. Then we wish him all the best in his new career. Huh? May you have more and more wisdom, peace, and Dhamma as you experience your new job, your new role. Then may your whole family do have the causes and conditions to have the good life as provided by you and rejoice. Sadhu. No problem.
Found a few Buddhist temples.
Sadhu. Okay. Let us do a quick one. We are joyously awaiting. Sharing of merits and transformers in Pali. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakhantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Bring it over.
Okay.
Thank you.